We are live on Elevate Today podcast. Today, I have Amanda with me here today. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
What was your last name?
Soukalos.
Amanda Soukalos.
Yes, it's Greek.
You're Greek?
I am Greek.
Whoa. Yes. Are you like involved with the Greek culture?
So we have a lot of relatives that are actually still living in Greece. So more so when we go to Greece, we experience the Greek culture.
Wow.
My dad has been going to Greece every year since he was like in his early 20s. He normally does like a men's motorcycle trip.
Oh my gosh.
And we've recently, during the pandemic, a few of our cousins moved back from Canada to Greece. And so we've made trips out to go spend more time with them.
Dang.
So if it was up to my dad, I'd be 100% Greek.
If it were up to him, I love that. But your mom's, no.
No, she's not Greek. So I'm actually only a quarter Greek, but I feel most strong ties to the Greek.
It
culture.
Doesn't matter how much you are. Yeah. If you're that, you can behave as if you're 100%.
And my dad says all things come from the Greeks, so.
I like that. Yeah, I do get why he says that. So I know you from Aquarius Wave. And yes. Just to be blunt, it was like, he was like, this girl's amazing. You're great. You guys need to meet each other and like collab or something. And when I started stalking you on Instagram, it was like, dang, you're like very ambitious. You do a lot and you seem very happy still.
Yes.
You're like, duh.
Right? Yeah. It's a full life.
Well, yeah, it should be like that. Like your approach to life, the way that you are so ambitious, but you're also, you meet that with like joy and happiness and energy. That is actually so rare in today's times where, like we talked about before, people are working these like 9-to-5 jobs, but not happy. Like having like these crazy big jobs, get there, and then they hate their day to day. They hate their routine. They barely know how to make time for themselves. How did you escape that, being in the business industry also?
Yeah. So I just know that you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to make time for yourself. And for me, I was like, okay, I want to keep building myself professionally, personally, athletically.
Yeah.
I have other goals outside of what I'm doing in my professional job. And so I was like, okay, that means I need to start getting up early. That means I need to start working out early, because by the time it's the end of the day, you kind of can't control those things.
Yeah.
After a certain time in the day, you have no clue what's going to hit you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, from 4:45 a.m. until 9 a.m., those are my hours.
Wow.
Where I pour into myself so then I can best go serve other people. And what that looks like is quiet time. It's a workout. Mm-hmm. I have a few different trainers that I work with. And that's where you have to burn energy to create energy, right? Yeah. And so if I don't work out in the morning, if something comes up, I'm not functioning 100%. And so that quiet time, I like to read. I sit in the sauna for 30 minutes almost every morning and just read. So that's that personal development every morning. And then so I get my spiritual, my physical, my mental, right, like that. Then I'm good to go. I fuel my body with the right foods. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, time to go serve everyone else for the rest of the day.
Wow.
And so that could be a different time of the day for everyone. For some, maybe that's in the evening. For me, by the time it's 9 p.m., I'm like, okay, bedtime. So for me, it's those morning hours that have really, really just like allowed me to elevate my game every day.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing this?
So I moved to Dallas 2 years ago. It was a big change of environment. It's what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
As I had told you, I was really just planning to go out for 2 months, dance a little bit, and then come back to California.
Yeah.
And I got out there, started dancing. I met people. I met the community. I said, no, this is where I need to stay.
Dang.
And so changing your environment allows you to start and build new habits. It allows you to hold on to the ones that you want, but it allows you to reflect and think, okay, which habits do I want to shed?
Mm-hmm.
And really, you never lose a habit. You just turn it into something new, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say that move to Dallas is what sparked all that change. I started working with one personal trainer shortly after I got to Dallas. Mm-hmm. I've been working with him since. And so you know, those morning times were, that's when it was. And I had a goal in mind of, okay, as I had mentioned to you, I've been auditioning for professional dance teams. And yeah. So I have to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so I have a more athletic build, and I needed to, my body shape to be a little bit different. And so I had to train different.
What kind of trainer is it?
So the trainer that I work with, one of them, he's like more functional based. Mm-hmm. He's a former professional athlete himself, but it's less high intensity and it's more like longevity.
That's cool.
Which has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much from him. Mm-hmm. So I do that. And what I was realizing, I was like, I have to do all of this training because I have a deadline coming up, right? Of when my auditions yeah. were. And you can't always control. When I first moved to Texas, I was still working a job that I was sometimes working 60, 80-hour weeks. And so sometimes you're working until midnight. So forget an evening workout.
Yeah.
So the only time I had, because I started at 8 a.m. every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was working New York City hours, because my team was all based out of New York. And so sometimes I'd be working from 8 until 8. There were some nights where I remember, like, literally closing my laptop, rolling over into bed at midnight.
And you still wake up at 4?
At that time, I was probably up closer to around, like, 5:30. And so that's another thing, though, is that you're not just going to wake up one morning and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wake up at 4:45, right? Mm-hmm. What happens is, okay, say you get up at 7 right now. Next week, start at 6:45, mm-hmm. then 6:30, then 6:15. And those 15-minute increments, it's like nothing on your body. And then soon enough, you'll be at 4:45 or whatever your desired early hour is. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't have that yet.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, but it's like even just a 15-minute increment, if you're like, oh, man, my morning just feels like it's crammed. There's no margin, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
We need margin in life.
Yeah.
And that's what creates margin is more hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying neglect your sleep, because sleep is yeah. so important. Mm-hmm. But I wear a Whoop, and my Whoop tells me all the data, because I see what you can measure, you can manage. And so I know that I perform optimally if I hit 67% of my sleep, which normally ends up being around 6.5 hours, because I hit like 4 hours of REM sleep every night on average. And so
6.5 is a healthy amount for you.
Healthy, yes.
That's so cool.
And on the weekends, I will sleep a little bit longer, so I make up for it. I'm not a napper, though. But I know that it's like, if I don't get 6.5, I'm going to need a cold plunge to, like, boost my alertness for the day.
That's wild. You really do it. You really do the stuff that we're supposed to do. But I like that, because, yeah, anyone can give 15 minutes, and once you get there, just keep giving your 15. I'm in a Bible study with a few girls, and our prayer request last night was all, like, it feels like we don't have enough time to give God. Like, we're reading John together, and it's like, okay, we finished. Not me. No time. And it's really hard to even give, like, 15 minutes when you think, like, it's so much. And it's for God, you know? So my question is for you, when you do your morning time with God to, like, really feel, like, ready for the day, empowered, ready to see all these people and meet them with love and want to heal in any capacity, what do you do to be efficient with your time but, like, still get a full dose of God?
Yeah, it looks different every day.
Right.
Because my morning workouts are different every day.
Yeah.
I sometimes can vary from, like, 3 different types of workouts in a week. Mm-hmm. With 3 different trainers, but I block out 30 minutes on most mornings, and I'm a part of 2 Bible studies, so I don't want to say, like, Monday I do this, Tuesday I do this, because that's not authentic, you know, it's not meeting the Lord where I need to be at that time, mm-hmm. right, that day. And so sometimes I'll review my notes from church, and I'll go look in at the scripture, because my pastor is so good about giving us so many different spots of scripture to look back and reflect on. And so yeah. I'll do that some mornings. Some some weeks I'll pick a book of the Bible and I'll just go all the way through. Mm-hmm. In 2020, I finished the Bible all the way through for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
And that's kind of where my walk with the Lord really started getting more deep and intimate and personal. Mm-hmm. And I think that coupled with this 40-day prayer challenge book that I read really like ignited that quiet time. And it's so important. I heard someone say, it was one of my pastors a few weeks ago, like, if you don't hear God right now, you need to just go back to the Word, right? And so that's where you get the wisdom and the discernment to be able to walk in obedience. Mm-hmm. And for me, that quiet time, I'm just like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And I journal most of the time for my prayers. It's helpful because then I can look back and see all the prayers that he's answered.
Yeah.
And it helps me stay focused because mm-hmm. our brains are wandering sometimes, oh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Every freaking day.
yeah, exactly. We have, what, over 75,000 thoughts a day. So to to really be able to just focus on Lord, what do you want me to do today? Mm-hmm. What do you want me to know today?
Yeah.
How do you want to use me as your vessel today? Those are the questions I ask every morning. Mm-hmm. So that then I can be spirit-led for the rest of my day.
Mm. So what is God walking you through right now?
Mm. Obedience. It's constantly just, I was in church like a month ago and there was big advance day. Our church is raising money for a new building. Mm-hmm. And they give the offering, and I feel like I'm kind of been in a season of, I know there's something brewing, I don't know what, I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you're just like, I have no clue what's gonna happen, but
yeah.
I'm excited for what's happening because there's a lot of things buzzing around. And the pastor at the end was like, if you feel like you're in a stage of like advancement, raise your hand. And my church prayer is so powerful, like at our church, like it's so apparent that the Holy Spirit's there when we're praying. And I had all these hands on me praying, and wow. like all of a sudden I like open my eyes and there's like little kids hands on me. I don't know where the little kids came from. There was like a man behind me that was praying, a woman that was next to me praying my favorite Bible verse, and the gentleman to my right, after the prayer, he looks at me and he goes, I had a vision during this prayer, and all I heard was God saying to you, clear path, clear path. Whoa. And it was crazy because in Bible study a few days before that, my friends and I were talking about how we hear God, and I always say, oh, it's just always been gentle nudges, like those gut feelings that you get, right?
Yeah, that's
telling you, like, either through people or you just feel it. Mm-hmm. It's like, but I've never heard God audibly say something to me. And so then 4 days later, I'm like sitting in church and he speaks through someone else, which was just so powerful. So with that said, God is walking me so clearly through just obedience and turning back to him. Mm-hmm. Not looking to, oh, what's my purpose, what's my calling, which I do care about that, but actually more so, God, let me fix my eyes on you so then you can use me as a vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm walking through right now.
And they're aligned. Like, we all have a bigger purpose. It's kind of going to be a long road to get there if you don't, like, go to God.
Mm.
Because it could be, like, a goal, a very trackable goal. But on your way to this goal, you're, like, you focus on God and you realize, like, okay, I want to be a basketball person, you know? And you think that the goal is to get, is it NBA for basketball?
NBA, yeah.
Okay, thank God.
yeah. Basketball's not your sport. It's okay. It's jujitsu.
It's just fighting. yeah. And so your goal could be get to NBA. But if you're like, okay, God, I'm going to like focus on you and I'm going to get there. On your way there, you're open to what God could be doing. And all of a sudden you're like leading these other men to God or to their clear vision or to be family people or to be someone of light, which speaking that kind of life and morality is like really, really effective. It's rare. It's a gift. Many don't walk in that courage of expression to be reminded of like, all right, let's fix our eyes on God. Because what that looks like is being a person of integrity, of honor, of love, seeing the unseen, seeing the brokenhearted, and like having God's heart for them and doing something. And with obedience, it can't happen without silence or with space.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually what I heard on your Instagram.
Yes, the silence is so important. We're in a world of busy.
Yeah.
And the most important thing to do to be able to actually connect and hear from God is to get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just be in nature. Go for a walk. There's no nature in Dallas.
That sounds terrible.
It's a lie. There is nature.
You have lakes.
We do have lakes, but it's different. It's not like California nature. Like, I come home and I'm like, oh my gosh, God, like your creation is so beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, there's a trail right next to where I live, so that's like my quiet walks. Like, take your AirPods out, just go for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. And it seems like, even if you ask anyone from California, most of us have not gone to California's like greatest nature parks, or we don't make it a practice to see how good our nature is. Like, California does have the best, but just we have it, so you forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Right? You take advantage of, you take for granted what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. So not to bash on San Jose, but you used to live in San Jose and you moved to Texas. Was there a reason why you wanted to get out of the San Jose environment?
So I would like to say that it's more so like when I got to Texas, I realized how beautiful and abundant the community was there.
Yeah.
There's a very strong, there's faith communities, there's dance communities, and there's fitness communities there.
Mm.
And it was the very first time in my life where my passion for dance and my passion for the Lord came together.
Wow.
Which it's just so beautiful, because our coach that leads the program, she's a Christian, she loves the Lord, and a lot of the women that also gravitate towards this program are also faith-based, and so it's been really sweet, because I've danced since I was 18 months old. I've had amazing coaches my entire life, and it's been really, really cool to be able to go to a place where your coach is up there like teaching, and then she somehow interjects with something that kind of goes right in with faith. It's been beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
And so I tell everyone that dance brought me to Dallas, but the people kept me.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I just knew that I needed something that was different for my life. And I live right it's called Victory Park in Dallas. It's like right in like uptown, across from the American Airlines Center, where the Mavs play, the Stars play. I'm like 10 minutes away from everything. And so that was also another thing, is in my new environment, efficiency. I can get places and like literally max out my day every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that allows me to build in margin. And it's kind of hard to do that in San Jose. At least from where my family lives, it takes about 30 minutes to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And so that could be more difficult. It could be exhausting on you. And I'm like, look, I want to live a full life. I want to be involved in these kinds of communities. And I'm not getting it here. And I know that there's so much untapped potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think I was actively seeking out, like, oh, Dallas is it, because right. Obviously I told you, like, it was kind of like, oh, it was a God wink. That's what I like to call them. It was a God wink.
Yeah.
Someone said, I need to introduce you to this coach. And then I show up to Texas, and I was like, oh, man, this place is special.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you've been a dancer since you were?
I took my first class with it was a Mommy and Me class when I was, like, 18 months old. So, like, literally walking.
And you've always liked it?
So I remember sometime, like probably around 6 or 7, I don't remember the exact age, but I was like, Mom, I'm done with this. I don't want to dance. And she's like, well, you're going to finish out the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finished out the year, and then went back the next year, and I never looked back. So I'm very grateful for my mom for instilling the finish what you started.
Yeah.
That's grit. That's where my grit. I recently just read a book called Grit, and you take the grit like exam, and it's scored out of 5 points, and I was like in the 90th or 95th, I think I was in the 95th percentile of grit. And normally grit's something that grows as you get older.
Yeah.
And grit is pretty much it's passion and perseverance. So your ability to find something you love and then endure in the highs and lows mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that instilled my grit. And
yeah.
I honestly never looked back after. I danced at the same studio, home studio, my whole life. And then when I was 18, my ballet teacher, college dance is like kind of an unknown world to a lot of dancers, mm-hmm. but there's so many different kinds. There's some schools that compete only, there's some schools that only perform, there's some that do both.
Yeah.
And I had kind of applied all over the country. And I ended up at Penn State.
It's so good.
Which was
wild.
Like, even just getting to Penn State is like such a crazy story. But I got to Penn State. It was like the greatest experience. I got to perform in front of over 100,000 people every single weekend at football games. We danced at all the basketball games, men's and women's. I, at the time, got to perform kind of the largest ever attended wrestling like match, which was really
best
fun.
Wrestling in that state.
Yes, yeah. The Penn State wrestling they're great. I love those people that come out of that program too. Mm-hmm. They're killers. And so I got so many incredible opportunities, but that was just all the performance side. That's what the school sees. What really like refined me as a person was our competition season mm-hmm. and all those highs and lows and being able to compete for 4 titles and we finished in the top 10 every year. So something that definitely like a lot of hard work that went into that. And so that was like my competitive season of college. And then mm-hmm. since then I have been training and auditioning for different professional dance teams just for fun.
Wow. That's so amazing that you love it and you started so young. And for a parent to know how to do that is very respectable, because like you lose that joy when you realize you don't have a choice. So maybe mm-hmm. at 7 you realize you do have the choice, but why give up, you know? Because it was like how much longer, like 5 more months of work?
Probably.
Yeah. And then you just like you're in the motion and the consistency, that's the thing that most people, like, they lose the opportunity to be skilled because they couldn't be consistent.
10,000-hour rule, right?
Mm-hmm. You're at your 10,000 to dance.
I probably hit that long, long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that's insanity. Because, like, I was told the same thing for jiu-jitsu. Just get your 10,000 hours in and then you'll be a black belt. I'm like, okay. Then I have to go to class today because that's just 1 hour and then I only have, like, 1,000 left, you know, 9,999, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Those little things matter so much.
Yeah. And it's also, it's part of your like inner child.
Hmm.
Right? Where did you find the most joy when you were a kid? Those are the things that you need to also be doing as an adult.
Hmm.
Because we stray so far from who we were as a child before the world started telling us, we started getting all these different opinions, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like what you love to do as a kid is gonna bring you joy as an adult. Mm-hmm. And then that permeates into every single aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also wanted to touch on when you said I had like the choice to dance. I think I was very fortunate, and I look back and I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to try out many different sports. I think I played every single sport under the sun.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, volleyball was the last sport I played. I played that until my freshman year of high school. Played soccer until 8th grade. I tried everything else. My mom, I'm so grateful. She drove me around to every single sport. Like, I would be at 3 sports in one day.
Oh, my God.
And I look back and I'm like, wow, Mom, you're the best for that. She was, like, my personal chauffeur and But my life was so full, and I did have the option, like, okay, what sport do you want to choose? It's getting to the time where you can't do two things. And that's when I was like, no, I love dancing. And I love dancing so much that I actually transferred high schools. After my freshman year, I transferred from one school to another because I wanted to be able to dance for my high school, but also for my studio. And I couldn't do that at my one high school. Damn. And I was like, but I want to be involved in my high school. You need to be involved at your high school. There's like studies that show that if you're involved with something for at least 2 years in a high school, you're going to be grittier later on. You're going to be more successful because you know how to stick to hard things. Mm. And so just having that opportunity to be like, okay, what do I like the most? Mm-hmm. And I still love to, I'll get out there and I'll play a little bit of volleyball and probably have not very much skill anymore, but like my true love has been with dance, mm-hmm. I guess from the beginning.
Yeah. So you were saying we have to go back to like our child, our inner child, mm-hmm. but being child, like as a child, what were you like?
So I'm the oldest of three, okay. girls. I think I've always, like, there's like home videos and I'm like putting on a show, I'm like doing my own thing, dancing, like that's what I remember.
That's so cute.
Where like my other sisters are like in the background doing their thing and I'm just right there in front of the camera. I've always been an entertainer, I've always been a natural leader, and I just remember, I feel like I've just always been really busy too, in a good way, like mm-hmm. a productive busy. Like, I'm like, I want to squeeze the lemon out of life.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how the answers are in our childhood. Like, a parent could be like, oh my gosh, like, there she goes again. And then in their adulthood, it just connects.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, if you didn't disregard your childlike dreams or your childlike energy and expression, it often connects.
Yeah. And it's never too late. Either mm-hmm. like it when you do realize that, because it's so easy, like I've fallen prey to this where I'm like, okay, like I've gone this direction, oh wait, that's not actually who I am at the core of me, mm-hmm. so let's course correct. It's never too late to mm-hmm. start something new or go back to what you think, and I think that all those experiences add up to make you uniquely you, mm-hmm. and that's what the world needs.
That's very true. And how do you think someone could find their own sense of self if they feel like they didn't get that, like, or maybe their childhood wasn't as bright or they had options to do different things and now they're like, let's say 14 years old, passionless, know there's more to life, but around 14 year olds that are in different states, but they could be often a little hopeless. How would you lead them to be like, okay, let's start a journey of finding yourself?
Yeah. What do you like to do in your free time? What are you searching on Google? Like, right? Like, what are the things that interest you? Like, so many people are on YouTube. What are you watching on YouTube? Right? Where do you find your mind wandering to? Or what is something that you've personally struggled with that you feel like there's a reason behind that struggle? Like, we're not put through trials for no reason. We're put through trials, one, to sharpen and strengthen us, but then to be able to use our own story to help other people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so those interests and those hobbies, just try things out, right? You never know what you're going to love or what you're not going to like. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember going back to playing sports as kids. I tried basketball out for 1 week. I got there. I jammed my finger. I said, I hate this sport. Aww. Right? I'm like, nope, I miss dance tonight, like, because I miss dance to go try basketball. I'd like, so, and I was young, I don't know why it's such a core memory, but it's like, I got there, I'm like, I hate this. And so it was sweet then, full circle, when I get to college and I'm on the sideline cheering for the basketball team, like, right? I never would want to be on that court, but I loved what I did on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But I would say to those kids that don't know exactly what sets their soul on fire, just try things out.
Yeah.
And if you like it, great. If you don't, then that means, okay, let's course correct. Let's turn a different direction. Mm-hmm. trial and error.
And what about the courage part? Did you ever, have you ever been like a little shy or like scared to try new things or scared to audition?
I've always been fearless. I mean, yes, you get the nerves, but like they're good nerves. They fuel you. Mm-hmm. I think fearlessness was really instilled into us. And I don't know how or why. I think it's just been an innate part of who I am.
Mm-hmm. And you guys were raised believing?
Yes.
The Bible says fear not like a bunch, like more than so many things. Like fear not, fear not, fear not. And I think like if you are reading the Bible, that really gets instilled. Mm-hmm. Just every person in the Bible, no matter how crazy or sinful they were, like they have moments of fear where they just had to break through.
Yeah.
I think Bible thinking influences fearlessness so much.
And you can only consciously think about one thing at a time. Mm. So you cannot have faith and fear at the same time. They do not coexist. It's like the same thing with peace and chaos. God is a God of peace. If there's confusion, if there's chaos, it's not from the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's like you physically cannot be trusting in God and be fearful at the same time. And so when you live with a life and surrender, then what is there to fear? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. So it's really not like, it's not even like, what are you scared of? It's more like, where are you having disbelief? Like, if God promised you this, why wouldn't he give it to you? And if he promised you this, then, and you're scared, then keep going because he promised that to you. And like, promise is the feeling, the gut, or reading it in the Bible where you know, like, God's plans for you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't know how to transition this, but I want to go into what we are talking about because, like, you are very beautiful. You're very ambitious. You're very, like, you're not waiting around for life to happen, for life to find you. Like, you know where you're going. And obviously, around that 20-year mark, like, your 20s, dating becomes a thing. So how has your dating journey been, and like your standard creation of maintaining your sense of self but still being like open and excited for someone to come into your life, and like how do you expect them to play a role with the way society is?
Yeah, so I always think back to like Hebrews 12, like run your race, right? And you want to be running a race and find someone who's running a race that's going in the same direction as you. Mm-hmm. And as a woman, I think it's really important to tap into that feminine side of who we're called to be, a strong woman, but also know what our role is as a woman. And like, I can be an alpha in a professional setting, but I know where my place is or where it will be in a relationship one day. And I've said this since high school, which I don't even know why high school me, where I would get this from, but I've always said, like, I want to build an empire with my husband. Mm. That's what I want to do. And I know I have a vision of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a matter of, like, I know that in the right timing with the Lord, like, it will be apparent who that person is for me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't date a lot because my standards are just high.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be outworked.
Yeah.
Right? And so I like to watch. I'm very much about like, okay, let me see how you interact first with other people. Let me see what your day-to-day looks like. I'm going to observe for a while. And then maybe we can go on a date, you know?
What are your standards or your red flags?
I need a man of faith. I need someone who loves the Lord. Mm-hmm. I need a hard worker. As I said, I don't want to be outworked.
Yeah.
Overall, just like fitness. And when I say fitness, I mean mentally fit, physically fit, spiritually fit. Like, those are my three pillars. Mm-hmm. Take care of your body, take care of your mind, take care of your spirit. Mm-hmm. And family is really important to me. And so the person doesn't need to come from someone who has like a really close family, but they need to understand, respect, and value the strength of family unity.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, your standards aren't unreal, like way too high. Like, you're like, be healthy and strong, love God, work really hard, be about family. And it's like, yeah, I don't date around much. It's hard out here. It's so true. Like, I feel like generationally, my parents' generation, like, all of them did that. All of them were maybe not super fit, because that wasn't, maybe, yeah, some fit, some not. But, like, family people. That was just non-negotiable. You date, you marry, you have a family, and that's your obligation for life. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, I'm just dating for fun. Like, wait, what? Like, you're here just for fun. We're just going to hang out and never see each other again? Or, like, it's a different style of dating now.
Yeah. I think part of the problem is that there's so many options. So yeah. In social media, it appears that you have a bajillion options, because I guess technically you do. Mm-hmm. And so because men have that mindset, like, oh, I have so many options, so I don't want a single one. It's like, okay, well then I'm not for you.
Yeah. Or so many options that, like, the easier thing is going to be what you have first. And, like, I'm very Christian, but I do hang out with very non-Christian people.
Yeah.
And my usually, like, general advice is, like, men want what they can get away with. And because even, you know, if you're a person of faith, like, that's the case, too. They want what they can get away with. If you, like, give your whole heart and body and everything, like, they'll take it. But if you're, like, I have this standard, patience. I have waiting till marriage, patience. You don't, like, show honor to your family. You don't show honor to mine. And no, it's very basic.
Yeah. I think people want the microwave fix of everything these days. Mm-hmm. No one knows how to play the long game. Not even the long game, the infinite game, right? The game to just keep playing.
Do you think you're ready?
For marriage?
For the, for the infinite game of having someone's dream too, that you also have to be mindful of for the long run.
If the Lord placed the right person in my life, yeah. Mm. But has that person been placed in my life? I'm not sure, right? It would be apparent.
Yeah.
I'm always ready. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're ready, then you don't have to get ready. Mm-hmm. Just stay ready.
And you have people ever told you you're gonna have to find someone that's like more easygoing and go with the flow because you're so ambitious and hardworking?
If someone said that, I would dismiss it right away.
You would dismiss them. You are so
I'd
wrong.
Be like, no, that's just not how it's gonna work. Yeah, no, I actually have not had anyone say that to me. And I think it's because I know when I need to be that alpha woman, but when I also know how to be that feminine woman. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the book Captivating?
Oh, no, it's too big.
Really?
Isn't it huge? The girl with the red dress.
That's a different
Redeeming
one.
Love.
That's Redeeming
something.
Love. That one is big. That one's really good. But Captivating is, like, kind of similar in the sense of it talks about all the character traits of, like, what a powerful woman looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's so counter to what our culture sees these days too and talks about.
And what is that? Both.
It's like what I was saying, like, you can be that strong alpha woman everywhere else in your life, but know that, like, it's like yin and yang. Like, you don't want to have an out, like, if you're being an alpha woman in a relationship, you're gonna attract a beta man. And so I know, like, I need to pull back into my feminine energy. Mm-hmm. When I am dating. Mm-hmm. And it took a little bit of learning. Like, the first time it clicked for me, I was like, oh, okay, like, you don't need to be an alpha at all times, Samantha.
Yeah.
So
you're like, date, it's like, all right, 5 minutes early and we're here. Why is he not early with me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. It's very simple. And I think what you're making me realize is like there is the way of the of society. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot, like the problems of these days or the problems high schoolers face or secular culture promoting like hookup culture and dating these days. But what you're making me realize is that like that's how they function. When you are of faith and of purpose and of big dreams, of big vision, you have a whole different world of thinking, of knowledge. You don't like adjust, you just keep your world separate, have different standards, and disregard people's advice that say like, oh, this guy doesn't exist. There's not going to be a guy that's like as ambitious as you with a big vision and a big dream. It's like, for you there's not, but for me I only need one, you know?
Yeah, and I don't even vibrate around those frequencies of humans, to be honest with you.
I can tell.
Like I don't know who has time for that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So that's probably another reason why I don't hear that, cuz I don't surround myself with people that would put that kind of ideology into my head. Like all the people I'm around, like I only want to be around winners. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean winning the game of life. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have too many people that, I mean, there are people that will say I'm too this or I'm too that, but that just means they're not for me. Not everyone's going to be for you. If everyone was for you, that means you're a chameleon. You're not living who you authentically, truly are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And chameleon as in you mold to mm-hmm. the people that you're around.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's a time and place to, if you're hanging out with this group of people, like, you know, in one group you might be more of a leader. In another group you might just be more an observer. Like, I'm saying, like, who you are to your core should not change from one setting to the mm-hmm. next. Mm-hmm.
And we're taught to kind of adapt as a child. You know, you're with kids, now behave, be quiet when you're supposed to, you know, and then you're in school. So you'll always have to be obedient in school. You always have to be just whatever your parents want from you. You kind of have to be that. Somewhere in your adulthood, it's kind of traumatizing to be like, I do not have to be a chameleon for you. I don't have to change or adapt for your comfort. And I don't do that yet. I am not fully there in all my dynamics because it's been easy to maintain being cordial and kind and respectful with certain people and like not changing. So what is your advice to respectfully not be a chameleon when you're around people that expect certain behavior from you?
Just be you. And they'll respect it. And if they don't, then they don't respect you.
Whoa. That's beautiful. All these people. You don't respect me. You know that? You don't respect me. And I can't be your friend anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we're called to be the salt of the earth and the light in this world. And the only way to do that is by living in your true, real identity. And if you're not doing that, then you're actually doing everyone else a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
When it's habit. Like, you have to break who you think you've been sometimes.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're nice and kind because you're a people pleaser. But if you weren't people pleasing, does the nice and kindness stay? Or are you a little bit more edgy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the five people that you are around the most frequently that impact who you are?
My trainers. We'll just group that in one group of people. I think it's mostly the settings that I'm in, the groups of people, because mm-hmm. I know they say like you are the five people you surround yourself with, right? And I think it's more so the mindsets of the humans that
true
I gravitate around the most. So it's my trainers, it's my Bible studies, it's my dance coaches, it's because I'm not close to my family in proximity, it's the phone calls with my family, mm-hmm. it's the phone call with my best friend from high school. Like those are the people, like the mindsets that I want to be around. It's around the people that are talking about ideas and vision and future, not talking about other people. Mm.
That's very empowering and also very rare.
Yes.
And you did that, though, on purpose.
Absolutely. It's so draining to just be around. If I get into a setting where it's just people talking about people, I'm like, psh, I'm out. Like, I can't do it. It takes so much energy away. I'm like, we could be doing something so cool with this time. I don't care about whatever's going on.
And have you always been that way?
Yeah, I think I have. I think it's gotten stronger, like, in the sense of I don't tolerate it as much. I used to tolerate it more, mm-hmm. in the sense of I would be in those settings, but not partaking in those settings. But now I just remove myself from it. I'm like, this is way too exhausting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just, like, pruning certain people and groups from your life. And so the kinds of people that I'm around are constantly elevating. And that it just has to do with, like, leveling up every step, right?
Mm-hmm. And the environment is huge, because many have to realize, like, if you want to get to the next level, you might have to change your friend group. And that doesn't make you a bad person. You're literally being selfish for a little bit so you can give the world your heart and who you are. And do you think that there's a way to not leave your environment but attain that same thing?
No.
Really?
I mean, you don't need to leave, like, your physical environment, but you're gonna have to shed certain people and things from your life, because we're humans, right? We're gonna gravitate back to what we're most comfortable with. So you have to remove those habits from your life. You have to strip them in order to move to the next thing. Like, there's this study about, I can't remember what drug it is, but they pretty much studied these people who had drug addictions, and the men from the military, when they came home, they actually had a way higher likelihood of getting clean from that drug than the people that were in the same environment and got clean from the drug. They all went to the same rehab, and then they came back, and because the military men had been, they retired from the military, and so because they were in a completely new environment, they were actually able to strip that drug addiction. Whereas the people that were in the same, they left, then they came back to the same environment, they picked the old habits right back up. You can never cut a habit. You have to change the habit. And the easiest way to do that is to change the environment.
Mm. Wow. That's kind of big for some.
Yeah. I mean,
don't attach to one place.
It's huge. And, you know, if you don't have the ability to physically change where you're living, you just have to, you know, maybe make little minor tweaks. Like, oh, maybe I can reset up my bedroom so it reminds me of different thing. Or, oh, I'm going to change my schedule in the morning to do X, Y, and Z instead. Like, there's different ways you could totally get creative with it if you don't have the capacity and bandwidth at the time to actually change your physical environment. Mm-hmm. But however you can replace those bad habits with new habits and then habit stack, that's what helps create that change.
Yeah. I actually think that that's, like, the biggest point of growth for me, because after high school, I moved.
Okay.
Like, immediately after high school, because I knew that I liked to party a little bit much, that if I went to a college, it would just be like, I cannot have that much, like, options to party. I'm going to want to go to every one. I just knew in my heart I needed more marinating in, like, my spirit, my mental, my emotional. It was like, I don't even care about education right mm-hmm. after high school. It's like, it's kind of irrelevant right now. And I moved and I wasn't home for 2 years. But in that time, I got to recreate myself. And of course, I was influenced by my environment, this environment where people of faith. But it was like my opportunity to finally be me, to finally make decisions that are not involving my family at all or who I'm known to be. It was almost as if that moment I got to actually, like, find out who I am.
Mm.
Especially when your family can have such an influence on you where you're like, oh, crap. I don't think I want to be this way without them, or I don't want to be this way if it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
and what habits change, what ways of thinking change, that all takes time. Because you go against something engraved in you for years, you're going to have to reprogram, which is why changing location helps. But it's also going to take time to give yourself like space and grace to change your thinking, to rewire a thought from fact to opinion to option to belief. Mm-hmm. And then attaining beliefs, all that could like progress you in your early adulthood.
Yeah, and what goes in your ears goes in your brain. That is the beliefs that then create the actions, right? And so how are you feeding your mind every day? What are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Like, those are the things that really matter. Mm-hmm. And I said this earlier, but you can only consciously think about one thing at a time. So choose wisely.
Mm-hmm. That's God always kind of thing. Always think about God.
It's not even that. Just like, you have the choice. Am I gonna be grateful about whatever the situation is facing me, or am I gonna be stressed and have anxiety about it? Mm. You can't have both. Mm-hmm. It's like, even the worst of situations, you see some people that are in accidents, they lose their legs, right? There's some people who rise, there's some people who like suffer. And the people that rise are those that say, I don't know why this happened to me, but I know that there was a purpose behind it. And I'm going to be grateful because now I get to do X, Y, and Z with it. Mm-hmm. Right? And mm-hmm. So choose. I always choose gratitude.
Mm-hmm. And like pause, because it's not forced. Like, when you get stressed and angry, it's like you can pause and be like, I don't have to feel this emotion. Like, powerful change of state. And just, yeah, that car really pissed me off because it cut me off, but it's not going to affect my work day. And gaining back that power to claim things over your day. Just because you stepped on something, like at the start of the day, shift, my day's still good. And like, claim life at the beginning.
Yeah, don't let 5 seconds ruin your day.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to. So, do you have a podcast?
I am about to be starting one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So what's Bolt? Because I saw you work with something called like Bolt.
Yes. So I was interviewing. I worked with them for a period of time doing interviews around corporate culture. But I'm super excited about this new adventure. I'll be working with my business partners, and we are relaunching a media agency. And whoa, it's actually funny because it's called Elevate One.
No media. Way.
Yeah. And oh, the name was there before, but we're relaunching. So I'm really excited. And the basis around it is to elevate for the long run. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Yes.
And when is this gonna happen?
We will be launching next month, so stay tuned.
Oh my gosh. Elevate One Media. Oh yes. My gosh, that's amazing. And it's a powerful word. And the fact that like elevating can look so different in everyone's walk of life, but it's like 1% better every day. That's what it means.
Yeah, compounds over time very quickly. And it's funny because I was on airplane rides. I always love to just do a little bit of reflection. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at my goals for the year that I wrote on December 30th of last year. Mm-hmm. And my vision for the year was around elevate 1% better every day. And
wow, that's cool.
My business partner that had reached out to me originally that wanted me to be part of this rebrand and this relaunch, he was like, I think you live out our motto and what we are, and that's why I want you to be a part of our team. And so that was a sweet moment when I was looking back at like, oh wow, I literally wrote this down 9 months ago. My and gosh. Now look at it coming to fruition. So I'm excited. The podcast is a student of the game podcast, and what we're seeking to do is sit down with people and learn from them, learn mm-hmm. what makes them tick. How do they get where they are? Because most people only see the success.
Right.
They see all the flashy stuff at the end, right?
Yeah.
What is the journey? Where did you start? We want the little kid that's like stuck in this place to be like, oh, there is hope for me. Mm-hmm. This is the action I can take to get to where I want one day.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So if you're in, is your business partner also in Texas?
Yes.
So this is all going to happen in Texas.
It will all be in Dallas.
In person.
In person.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes.
Because you can really do the online podcast, but something about like sitting down in person, it's more of an experience for the person doing it versus like computer podcasts, which down the road, yeah, you can have access to more people. But I love the in-person.
No, I would rather pick up all the podcast stuff and travel than do something virtual. I thrive, right? You feel the energy of people. You can read the room. Mm-hmm. And our conversations are really meant to be casual, like you would be sitting talking to someone at a bar. Mm-hmm. Right? You sit down, you're by yourself, another person sits down, you start striking up a conversation, asking about life. That's what we want it to be. We want to peel back the layers of the person and know, okay, what makes you tick? Mm-hmm. Why are you the way you are? What drives you? Yeah. Right?
That's really cool. We need so much more of that. Yeah. That makes me really happy.
Oh.
So do you see yourself running workshops in the future?
What kind of workshops?
You just seem like someone that would run a workshop.
I think there's definitely a high likelihood that that'll happen. Workshops, seminars, speaking.
Yeah, so you're open to the path of like motivational speaking, public speaking on stages and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thrive in front of audiences and people. And, you know, most of my life was spent dancing, but I think the power of encouraging and empowering other people to live a life that has given me so much joy and abundance, something I would love to do.
Yeah, that's going to happen. there's a huge need right now for that. And I'm super inspired and motivated because, like, I was told recently to come up with a few, like, ideas and programs for specifically women youth. Mm. And the reason why is because, like, there's groups of women that gather, like, at juveniles and stuff like that. They don't get women inspiration. Or they get elderly where, like, there's not this, like, oh, I was in your shoes, like, 5 years ago. Or I know what it's like to feel, you know, to have more of that relatable compassion. I see you. I feel you. And not so like organized corporately. Mm-hmm. There's a need for that. There's a need for women that are open, willing, and down to inspire and encourage the younger generation that have been so influenced by media. They need real life people to give real life stories, real life eye contact to give them the courage to change their life to be one that they are proud to live.
Amen. And it's so true. This is something I struggled with, which is probably why I'm so passionate about it, is that it is so hard to find great female mentors. Mm-hmm. I have a million male mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Not a million, but I would say it's like a 90% male mentorship, 10% mm-hmm. female mentorship. And that hurts me.
Yeah.
That hurts me. And like, I don't know why or what it is that way, but I'm so grateful for the female mentors that I have because they've stood by me when they have their own families to raise. Mm. But like, men have their own families to raise too, you know? Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if it's the professional field that I started in, which is predominantly male, mm-hmm. but because I've experienced that, I feel like it's my duty and my responsibility to take other young women under my wing because I don't want them to feel the way that I've felt. Because I see so much value in male mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of value that women need other women.
Because
mm-hmm. there's different conversations you're going to have with women that you're not going to have with men. Vice versa. It goes both directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely know that there's a huge need for women to step up and be able to fill these spaces and to empower young women
mm-hmm.
to walk upward and right.
Yes. And I totally feel you on that. Like, guy mentors, maybe because they get that that's their role. If they're in that industry, you read and it's like, mentor, you need mentors and be a mentor. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very normal. But I think, like, that's because of being more ambitious in work field industry, where, like, women, their heart and feelings, like, our soul different is we're heart and feelings. If you're a woman starting a business, it's most likely going to come out of a deep heart space. But to have a mentor that could see, like, the business growth and help you there, but to find a female mentor that's like, you can keep your business honoring your heart state, where every product, every service is, like, you're allowing to transfer over that love. Different than a more, like, business model. But I think that that's kind of the essence of women, is we really do have the ability to do a lot out of our heart state. And that's why we need more women mentors to, like, allow us to stay there. Mm. Like, men go to the work zone and grind. Women, we work zone in our heart state. Mm. It's insane.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And I'm, like, so grateful for those female mentors that I do have, mm-hmm. that have showed me how you can be both. And you can operate fiercely, but still out of a loving, empathetic, mm-hmm. heart state, like you're mentioning.
Mm-hmm. And it's starting. I promise you, like you said the word earlier, but there's, like, a change starting with, like, women. And it's not traumatizing. It's, like, healing. Like, the women that have been traumatized by other women or drama, it's, like, I feel like there's healing. Women groups, women communities, learning how to empower and encourage and inspire and not gossip or slander or be jealous, but, like, a shift. I'm just seeing it. Every girl's saying the same thing right now. More girl communities, more, like, I want to be around girls. It's like, okay, it's so obvious. There's a shift.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful. I have so many communities of wonderful women that I've been able to surround myself with. And I also have so many strong kings, mm-hmm. around me that lift me up and show me how men really should, mm-hmm. behave and act. So I'm grateful for both, right? We need, mm-hmm. we need it all.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, even that's another one. Like, if you're listening and you want a mentor, but the only mentor you find is a male and you're a girl, like, that is okay until you find a female. Like, you can't talk about your boy problems and your heart, but, like, those quality men that see something in you and want to help you grow, don't run from those. Run towards them, because they do want to, there are men that want that elevation for you too.
Lean mm-hmm. into that. Yeah.
I want to leave you with a few questions, if that's okay.
Of course.
Around that time. What does it mean to you to elevate every single day?
Man, we only have one life, and I like to think that we're placed on this earth for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. There's a purpose, there's a calling on our life, and every day is an opportunity to get better. Mm-hmm. You're going to get better or worse. No one stays the same. Mm-hmm. So why not get better?
Mm-hmm. And let's see. What is one thing someone can do to spark a change in a new direction in their life? One practical thing.
Wake up earlier. 15 minutes.
You and your early mornings. Earliest podcast we've done.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, sorry, I kind of have a busy day. Can we do 7:30 a.m.?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I got to be out at 8:45. I read it wrong. I'm like, sure, we could do 9:30. It'll give me some time. You're like, no, I meant out. I'm like, oh, okay. But I love that, because we did it.
Yeah. No, and this has been so great. It's so nice also to be able to, like, use my early morning brain cells, right? To be able to just share this time with you.
Mine activated a little bit slowly. I'm just, like, chugging coffee. I'm like, I hope I'm making sense.
No, this has been amazing. It's been incredible. Thank you. You're awesome.
Thank you. Okay, and where can people find you? Instagram
at Amanda Souks, Souks.
Souks. Okay. Yes. Anything else?
And our media agency, mm-hmm. is Elevate One Media.
And is that followable now?
Yes, on Instagram.
And soon it'll be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, right?
Yes. It'll be all places. Elevate One Media. Cool. Yes.
Okay, so this is a pre-launch to her podcast. You will want to stay knowing her. You'll probably see her on TV on a sports game. I was going to say football. I don't know my sports. I need to stop.
NFL.
NFL. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being an inspiration and honestly encouraging me, because I don't witness people like you all the time. And so when I see how you live and how you do so much, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep like dreaming big, keeping my standards high, like waking up earlier, really like living out what it means to elevate every day. And you do that. And it's a huge inspiration. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Keep going.
Yes.
Always, every day.
Yes. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day and stay elevating.